Well, good morning, Sunrise Community Church. It is a new year, and we are here together. By the way, we just celebrated communion. If you would, pass those cups to the center aisles. Your usher is going to come forward and pick those up for you. But it is 2019, and with a new year comes new beginnings, new opportunities, new excitement. And if you are one of those people that just takes hold of a New Year's resolution and can just run with it and make it happen, and you're a goal setter and you're just a go-getter as the new year comes, then God bless you. Because I realized this week I'm not like that. I'm a bit of an idealist. I can have my head in the clouds sometimes. So 2019 came along, and this is how I experienced this. I decided I would kick off the new year by going golfing. And I thought to myself, this is what I thought to myself, you know what? In 2019, I haven't played a bad round of golf. Maybe I'm going to go out there and it's going to be the best thing I've ever done. Maybe I'll get my first hole in one. Maybe I'm just like all these lofty goals. And guess what happens when I go out there on the golf course? I realize I'm the same okay golfer that I was before. Nothing had changed, right? Why do I share that story? Because as we approach 2019, it's not necessarily about how quick you jump out of the gates. It's not about what happens this Sunday or this morning. But think, if you will, what can happen in your life and in my life and in our church as we just take step after step to go after the mission of this church, which is to follow Jesus. Imagine what a year of following Jesus would result in. When we say less of me, less of my agenda, less of myself and my preferences, and Jesus, just today, this week, this month, I'm going to take a step to follow you, to go where you're going, to say yes to what you're leading me into. And friends, I firmly believe that as we do that together in 2019, this is going to be a memorable year of seeing more of who Jesus is and what he can do in and around us. As we kick off the year this morning, we're going to do something a little unique. Like we always do, we're going to go to the Word of God. We're going to look at a short passage of what Jesus says about following him. Then I'm going to take some time to share with you just some heart and vision for what 2019 has in store for Sunrise Community Church. Your pastoral team has been working hard the last few months to plan and dream and pray and seek God for what he has in store. And I'm excited to share some of that with you. And then we're going to do this. We're going to pray. Lord willing, I will talk less this morning and we will pray more. Because there is an awesome opportunity for us to follow Jesus and to be less about ourselves by simply coming before God and saying, God, we're going to ask for you this year. We're going to ask for what you're going to do. And we're going to start with prayer. The 19th century pastor, Andrew Murray, he said many great things, but he was once quoted as saying, Jesus never taught his disciples how to preach. He taught them how to pray. So if the one thing you walk away with this morning is just some time before God, talking to him, praying and asking for what he has in store this year, that in and of itself might be one of the best things we get out of this morning. So with that in mind, can I pray for the time that we have here together this morning? All right, let's do that. Father God, I pray for my brothers and sisters here, and I pray for myself, God, that we would experience the grace to bring less of ourselves to the table, more of our needs and our wants, and to simply ask for more of you. Jesus, may we experience more and more in 2019 that it is all for you. And God, may we collectively be changed and transformed as we look to you and as you lead us into what you have for 2019. We pray this in your precious name. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to be looking at just two verses this morning, and we're going to be starting in verse 24. Matthew 16, 24 and 25. Find that in your Bible. Let's start there together. It says this, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it.'" Here you have Jesus, and he's with his disciples. He has started to tell them about the fate that awaits him at the cross, and that he must die, and that he must suffer. And as he's telling them this, he lays down three imperatives of what it means to follow him. And he puts it plainly. He says to his disciples, who are his followers, but he speaks to it in a broad sense, "If anyone would come after me, he must." An imperative is a command. It has weight to it. He must do this. These are non-negotiable. These are not options when it comes to following Jesus. And Jesus, for us this morning, is going to paint the picture more clearly of what it means to follow him. And the first thing that he's going to say is that you must, the one who follows me, must deny themselves. They must surrender their will for their life and surrender it to God's will for their life. And if you follow Jesus today, you must surrender your will for your life. Deny yourself. Is this not the very definition of what it means to be selfless? To deny yourself. We love our preferences. We love to claim our rights. We love our agenda. And if you're anything like me, this can be a struggle. You like the way you like your things. You like the way you like things to be done. You like a certain context. You like a certain temperature in the room, do you not? But whoever wants to come after me, Jesus says, must deny himself. Being people, we bump up against ourselves all the time. Being in church, we bump up against each other all the time. We bump up against our preferences. And being a pastor, I bump up against this as well. Because I know in here there's people that wish we sang more hymns. And there's people in here that wish we sang less hymns. There are people in here that wish Greg tucked in his shirt on a Sunday morning, or had long sleeves, or a tie and a suit. There are people in here that wish that we were more serious on Sunday mornings. And there's people in here that wish we were more full of life and jovial on Sunday mornings. In and of themselves, none of these are bad things, but they're also not Jesus. They're your preferences. They're the way that you like things to be done. And what's interesting about this, if you take my relationship with my wife, and there's two of us, there are different preferences. And if both of us ruthlessly go after our preferences, we bump up against each other. Try a church of 1,000 people. How much do you think we're going to bump up against each other for pursuing our preferences, what we want, what we desire? But when Jesus says, deny yourself, preferences are just one of the things he's saying to set aside, because it's not about you. It's about him. Imagine, once again, a church of 1,000 people that have set aside their preferences, that have set aside their rights, that have set aside their agenda and considers others better than themselves. Considers that someone else may want it some way different. Someone else may not just think the same way that I do. And so I can set aside the style preferences, the temperature preferences. I can set aside all those different things and say, how can I just serve my brother and my sister? You know, I am so grateful as a pastor that God didn't call me to serve everyone's personal preferences. He called me to serve Jesus Christ. He called you to serve Jesus Christ. and he called you to serve others. In fact, think about it. What were the two greatest commandments that Jesus said? Out of all the law, out of all the commandments, it's love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And it's love your neighbor as yourself. And we could spend the rest of our lifetime living out those two things. It embodies selflessness. It embodies denying yourself to love God with everything that you have, to love others in the same way that you love yourself. And I love that this even implies that denying yourself doesn't mean that you put yourself down. Some of us struggle with this. We don't think too highly of ourselves. We struggle to think well of ourselves at all. We kind of handicap ourselves and we downplay who we are and who God created us to be. But as someone said, and I like the way it was put, that denying yourself doesn't mean that you think less of yourself. It just means that you think of yourself less. Friends, God made you. When he created you, he said, "This is very good." You have an identity in him. You were created in his image. And he's made you for a purpose. So you don't need to think less of yourself. Just think of yourself less. And you know what to me is one of the most exciting things I see in a church? Is that when we start hearing less conversation about the preferences, I wish this was different, this was different, this was different, this was different. And we hear more of the conversations of, can I tell you what Jesus is doing in my life? Can I tell you how my heart is being changed? Can I tell you how I used to really care about this thing and God convicted me and helped me to realize that that thing is not all that important? Can I tell you how God has given me a heart for others that just wasn't there before? I know someone in this church who was telling me a story about how they were all hung up in the preferential things and the formalities of things and didn't have a lot of freedom in their spiritual life. And in a period of 10 years, God has completely transformed them where they are just overflowing with supernatural love for people that are not like them. A complete 180 in terms of their heart. And this is just one example of what I think Galatians 2:20 talks about when Paul wrote, "It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me." It's not me coming through. It's not my heart coming through. It is the heart of Jesus coming through. And that heart of Jesus prefers others, surrenders their rights, allows God to drive the agenda. Because Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. Are you willing to deny yourself in 2019? Generally, it's not just a one-time thing, but an ongoing practice of saying, God, less of me, more of you. Less of me, more of others. Will you say yes to that call this year? Well, Jesus didn't stop there. He didn't just say deny yourself, but he said take up your cross. And when you think about the phrase take up your cross, you begin to realize how grotesque this picture is. Jesus was saying that I am going to suffer. And the cross was brutal. The cross was public. The cross, at least up until this point, was final. And Jesus doesn't go light on the subject. It's not just denying yourself, but taking up your cross. Dying to self. Dying to your self-will, dying to your plans, your life, and saying, God, here it is. Here's me. And friends, to be honest with you, I think we need this more than ever today. Because in the world we live in, our MO is that we'll do it if it's easy. We'll do it if it's enjoyable. We'll do it if we can see the immediate benefits. We'll do it if others praise it and tell us how wonderful it is. But Jesus called us to take up our cross. Not to literally carry a wooden cross around. I don't see any of us that are doing that. But literally a call to die. Going back to Galatians 2:20, you look at the little phrase that I didn't read at the beginning of this verse. Paul said these words. He said, "I have been crucified with Christ." To identify with Christ is to identify with his death. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. When I am crucified with Christ, it is not myself, my fleshly self that I bring to the table that is brought to new life. No, Christ was resurrected to new life, and that new life is alive in me. But you can't experience resurrection without death. You will not experience more of Jesus in you apart from dying to yourself. What does that mean to deny yourself and to die? Think about it this way. What preferences, rights, agenda does a dead man have? And if you think about yourself, what are the preferences, rights, agenda? What are you holding on to today? You know, I don't think that question is one that's just for this morning. It's going to linger throughout this year. What am I holding on to? Because I think this is something we're going to be getting at this year, and I'm only going to touch on it briefly this morning because I'm beginning to unpack it and understand it more. The world around us is dying to experience more of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the light of the world. He is the hope of the world. He is the one that changes and transforms. He is the one that forgives. There is no light apart from the light that he shines. And the main way the world around us is going to see that is through the people who follow him. And if the people who claim to follow Jesus are holding on to their rights and their agenda and wanting it to do their way, and they're basically animated dead men walking, I don't know how much of an impact that makes. But if it's not just a dead man walking, but somebody who has died to self and is alive in Jesus Christ, the world will see his light in us. As Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross. And the third imperative that he gives is to follow him. When we follow Jesus, we put it into practice. And the thing you find about following Jesus is he doesn't lay out completely the game plan. For some of you, if you knew where you were going to be now 10 years ago, it would have been a tough path to walk. For some of you, if you knew what Jesus was going to do 10 years ago, today, you wouldn't have been able to wait that long. Whether it's been highlights, lowlights, a mixture of both, God is in the process of using those things, and he calls us to follow him and put it into practice. And day in and day out, week to week, we have the opportunity to take the next step and to follow him. Friends, you are invited to follow Jesus this year. In verse 35, or 25, sorry, Jesus gave this reason for denying yourself, taking up your cross and following him. And to be honest, this is a verse that's been on my heart for a little while, and I've been chewing on this as to what this means. But Jesus just said this, and I'm just going to put it out there the way that he did. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. You want to find your life? You have to lose it. Try to hold on to your life, try to make it happen. Well, you'll watch it fall apart. And in the Selfless series, the next few weeks, I think we're going to flesh out some of the principle behind this. We're going to talk about what it means to be selfless with our abilities, or selfless with our church, or selfless with the gospel. And similarly with those things, I think it applies to this as well. You want to work hard to save your marriage? Well, you'll probably lose it. But if you surrender it to Jesus, you'll find it. You want to give your best efforts to make this church what it's supposed to be? Well, you'll probably lose it. But if you surrender this church to Jesus, if we die and say, this isn't ours, it's not our agenda, it's not our preferences, God, this is yours, well, you'll find life here. I have a friend who's had a lot of struggles in recent years. And we've sat many times and he shared these struggles just with a heavy heart, at times not even be able to look me in the eye, and just this weight that he has had. And something happened recently. One, he got baptized, and that was really cool. God began to renew his life and create some excitement in him. But something just happened that has meant the world to him. He started having long conversations with a friend who wants to know more about Jesus. I've never seen him so excited. Life is spurring up inside of him. And all those things that have been hard haven't necessarily changed. And as he's giving those things to Jesus and trusting him with those, he's finding that God is providing other opportunities that are so much more significant than all the other things. I believe God has similar things for us in 2019. God is going to lead us into a place of selflessness, of surrender, of trusting him with what he has. And here's a little picture of what God is calling us to. As your staff team met and prayed, we want to share with you a vision for this year that is a bit of a chunk to chew off, and I'm going to explain it a little bit. But the vision is this, that in 2019, Sunrise Community Church, we would follow Jesus into our community. That part of being selfless would lead us beyond these walls, would lead us more deeply into the greatest commandment, to love our neighbor. And the initial questions I know come up of, what does that mean? How will we do that? Does that mean that we're doing this, this, and this, and this? Well, we're going to just continue to lean into it this year. And we're going to let there be a little bit of a process to it. So once again, it's not about what happens tomorrow or next week or even next month, but where God will have us a year from now. And here's a little bit of just a general outline of what that'll look like. In the first 4 months of the year, we're going to focus on the heart. And say, God, would you grow our heart for others? Will you help us to see our neighbor, to see the people in need around us? Help us love people that aren't like us. If Jesus can command us to love our enemies, then we can love people that are just a little different and maybe don't have the same views that you do. We can even love our enemies. So we're going to focus on the heart. We're going to focus on the heart through the Selfless series. And we're going to follow up the Selfless series with an 8-week series on the book of Jonah. A book that I love. A book where God called a man to a people that he didn't necessarily care for. But God cared for them. And did a great work through it. While there was some real serious human wrestling going on. Maybe as we get less about what happens on this campus and care more about what's going on in the world around us, we're going to wrestle with that some, and that is good. The next 4 months, God's going to lead us into the hands a little bit of it. And what I mean by that is just, what are the practical ways we do that? We're going to become more skilled. We're going to equip. We're going to talk about, well, how do we actually do that? And then late in the year, to start to put more feet to it. And these things will be happening in different ways and different times. It's not just, okay, we stop with the heart, now with the hands. They'll flow into each other. but it'll build. Some of the ways that that will look in the coming year following Jesus into our community on the next slide is that we'll be asking God to grow our heart for others. This, friends, is huge for the vitality of this church. God has a heart for the world around us. May we be alive with Jesus' heart for the world around us. God is going to call us to take steps of faith to engage our friends, our families, our neighbors, the person right next door, the person down the street, the person that we work with, the person in the grocery store. This will include praying, serving, having spiritual conversations, and also includes us giving you some tools to help make this easy. Because you might be thinking, I don't know where to start. We'll help you do that. And there's some neat things that are coming up with that that you'll be learning about in the coming months. Thirdly, that'll look like us raising our cultural IQ. What does this mean? It means the world might be different than you. The world's changed a lot in the last 25 years. And maybe you feel like others don't speak the same language as you. Well, just like when somebody goes to a foreign country and they learn the language, we want to be able to speak the language of our listeners. Because think about it this way. The gospel is the truth. The good news of Jesus Christ is eternal and never changing. But there's also a way that you experienced it. You heard it in a language you understand, with a person you connected to, through a way that it was explained and made sense to you, in a way that God used to communicate that stirred your heart and God was moving supernaturally for you to say yes to Him. And for some of you this morning, you're even experiencing that right now. You haven't said yes to Jesus yet, but there's words that are being said and things are being communicated in ways you're understanding Jesus in the ways you didn't understand before. And God's moving you towards saying yes to Him. Well, if someone else speaks a different language or understands the world a little differently than you, our heart is to communicate it in a way they will understand, not just in the way we understood it. This requires listening. This requires question asking. It requires a heart that cares more about the person than just me, the messenger. I remember when I first shared my faith for the first time, and I was told, you know, hey, the first 50 times you do it, you're probably just going to be thinking, man, I hope I don't look stupid. Is that selfless? No. We're thinking about us. Then you finally get to a point where you start to think, okay, am I saying the right things? But you're still not quite there yet. Eventually, you'll get to a place where you're asking just the main question, which is, are they hearing? Am I surrendered to God? Is He speaking through me in a way that they hear and can respond and connect to the good news of Jesus Christ? And friends, I want us to experience more of that in 2019. And we're also going to see groups that show up, not just here in the church, but in our communities. You may find a ministry that exists right in your neighborhood. You might find a backyard get-together that makes a difference, or a Bible study or a prayer meeting that your neighbors are invited to that's going to make a difference in their world. I don't know what it's going to look like. And I imagine that as you're hearing this now, you're realizing you're a little in over your head, and that is great. Because once again, it's not just going to happen tomorrow. There's an entire year to lean into what God is going to do through this. And maybe even this morning, you're just kind of like, I don't like it. Notice what you said there? I don't like it. Friends, God's at work. And all of us get a chance to lean into what He's doing. And I'm going to tell you what, you give Him an opportunity and you're going to like what He does. So now, I'm going to invite you guys to pray. We're going to turn into groups of four to six in just a moment. And I'm going to ask you to pray for these things. The grace to deny yourself in 2019. For God igniting our heart for others. For great faith for this church in the coming year. And pray for your friends and your neighbors by name. And obviously, if God leads you to pray for other things, go for it. But friends, I'm going to ask you right now, in the time that we have left, we'll take about 5 minutes for this. Gather up together with some people around you. If there's someone nearby that's not able to move their seat, gather around them. Pray out loud and just ask God for what He has in store for 2019. Grace to deny yourself, igniting hearts, Faith for Sunrise, friends and neighbors, go ahead and do that right now. I'm going to find somebody too. Let's go. Father God, we thank you for the year that is ahead. We thank you that we can live a year with less of ourselves and more of you, Jesus. We pray that as we see you, the world will see you, and that'll impact our communities and our neighbors and the world around us. We pray that you would also just speak to us and show us the heart that you have for others, Father God. Show us what it means to love people the way that you do. God, we're excited for where you will take us. And so we pray for your grace in the coming weeks just to die to ourselves, to take up our cross, to follow you. Lord, we thank you for the work that you are doing in and amongst us. We thank you that you have great plans for the future of this church. We thank you that you know what you have in store for leadership. We know what you have in store for 2019. We've yet to see it, but you know. And so, God, we walk by faith, believing you, not just for our preferences, but for your kingdom, for your power, for your light to shine in and around this place, Father God. We pray all these things in your precious name. Amen.